This is the September issue of Click, Science and Exploration for Young Kids. I'm Chris Radio volunteer, Ron Pariser. The front cover of the magazine has a picture of a bug, and the caption reads, "Don't bug me." Page 2, Click and the Kids, Story and Art by Betsy Page Brown, featuring Amy, Martin, Click, Liz the sitter, and ants. "Look, Amy, an ant found the muffin crumb I dropped. Its eyes are obviously bigger than its stomach. That's like you or me eating a whole birthday cake. Hey, you forgot the muffin. Where's it going? Look, Amy, more ants, and they're all going right to the crumb." Click says the first ant must have given them directions. Now they're biting off little bits with their pinchers and putting them down the anthill. Click says many ants make light work. "I wonder what it's like down there. I saw an ant exhibit at the Science Museum. They dig lots of tunnels and rooms. There's a room for food, a nursery, and of course, the queen's chamber. She's very important because she lays all the eggs. Hey, I saw that exhibit too. Most of the ants are girls, but the boy ants are really cool because they have wings." The illustration shows the different chambers the ants have dug: nursery, trash, queen's chamber, food storage. Ants are really organized. Each ant has a special job to do. Right. Some ants find the food, some ants dig the tunnels, and some are just babysitters, just like Liz. Click says, "Those sound like fun jobs to me. Hey, we're a lot like ants. I like to dig tunnels, and I like to play queen. And we're both good at finding Liz's homemade muffins." "One large crumb, please," asked Click. "I've also heard that ants are very tidy. They clean up after themselves when they make a mess. She's right, Martin. They even cleaned up our mess. The crumbs are all gone from the patio." "Hmm, but they weren't able to move the toys." The ants go marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah, as the children pick up their toys. Click says, and the little one stops to have some fun. Hurrah! As he blows bubbles. Page 7. Doug Tarin, Bug Scientist by Rachel Young, photographs by Michael Goss, art by Betsy Page Brown. Click's friend Doug Tarin is a scientist who studies butterflies and other bugs at the Peggy Notbert Nature Museum in Chicago. One day, Click stopped by for a visit. Here's what they said. Click, "Look out, Doug. There's a bug on you." Doug, "It's okay, Click. This jungle nymph is a friend of mine from Malaysia. We have bugs from all over the world here at the museum." Click, "You have bugs for friends? Why do you like bugs so much?" Doug, "Bugs are just totally cool. They're the largest group of animals on Earth, and they have lots of important jobs." Click, "Bugs have jobs?" Doug, "Sure they do. They help spread pollen and seeds so new plants can grow. They eat dead plants and animals and turn them into dirt. And lots of animals eat insects. If insects disappeared, then most people and animals would too." Click, "So are there any places that don't have bugs?" Doug, "Not many. Warm, wet places like the rainforest have the most bugs, but there are even bugs in icy Antarctica." Click, "Of all the bugs I know, fireflies are my favorite. Sometimes I catch them in a jar." Doug, "It's okay to catch bugs so you can give them a closer look, but be sure to let them go. Now let's go take a look at some of my favorite bugs in the museum's butterfly garden." Click, "Look at all these beautiful butterflies. You must need a really big net to catch them all." Doug, "We don't catch them, Click. See these? Each one is a butterfly in its chrysalis stage. Inside, the caterpillar is changing into an adult butterfly." Click, Those little things look too small to hold such big butterflies. Doug, when the butterflies first emerge, their bodies are big and fat, but their wings are soft and wet and sort of smushed up. They hang upside down to pump fluid from their bodies into their wings. Then, when their wings are all dry and sturdy, we release them in the butterfly garden. Click. I see a butterfly on that flower. It's using a straw. Doug. That straw is the butterfly's long, hollow tongue. Butterflies uncoil their tongues, then stick them inside flowers to suck out the sweet nectar. Click. Whoa! Look at the size of those wings. That's the biggest butterfly I've ever seen. Doug. That's not a butterfly, Click. See how its feelers are feathery instead of long and thin? It's an Atlas moth, one of the biggest bugs in the world. Its wings can be a whole 12 inches across. Click. There sure are lots of bugs to get to know. I think I'll go introduce myself to some of the ones in my backyard. Bye, bugs. Bye, Doug. Doug. See you later, Click. It's time for me to go feed this stick insect. Page 12. Insect or not? Insects come in all sorts of colors, shapes, and sizes. More than 1 million different kinds have already been discovered. What makes them all insects? Legs. Insects always have three pairs of legs, though each pair may look different. That makes a total of six legs. If a critter has more or fewer than six legs, it's not an insect. Head. Every insect has three body parts: head, thorax, and abdomen. The front part, the head, is where you'll find an insect's eyes and mouth, but no nose. Thorax. An insect's middle section is called the thorax. It's where an insect's legs and wings are attached. Abdomen. The last of an insect's three body parts is the abdomen. It contains the organs insects use to breathe, break down food, and lay eggs. Exoskeleton. You have hard bones inside your body. Instead of bones, insects have a hard outside coat or shell called an exoskeleton. The exoskeleton holds up an insect's body and muscles just as your skeleton does for you. Antennae. Most insects have a pair of antennae. Antennae are sometimes called feelers, and insects do use them to touch and feel, but their main job is to smell things. Some insects also taste or hear with their antennae. Can you tell which of these critters are insects? Remember to count their legs. Page 14. Bug Cycle. Art by Denise Ortacalles. All insects change as they grow from eggs to adults. This change is called metamorphosis. Some kinds of insects, such as dragonflies, crickets, and praying mantises, look a lot like their parents when they hatch. They go through three stages, from egg to nymph to adult. In the illustration, 1. A mother dragonfly lays her eggs on a plant in a pond. 2. Baby dragonflies, called nymphs, hatch from the eggs. A nymph looks like a small adult, except it has no wings. 3. A dragonfly nymph lives and eats and grows underwater. 4. The nymph's exoskeleton, or outside coat, does not grow or stretch. When it gets too tight, the coat splits open and the nymph crawls out with a new, looser coat. 5. The nymph molts or sheds its exoskeleton many times as it grows. When it reaches the size of an adult, it climbs out of the water. 6. The nymph molts one last time, and a winged adult dragonfly pushes out. Most kinds of insects change even more as they grow. They go through four stages, from egg to larva, to pupa to adult. Some insects look so different as larva, pupae, and adults that people long ago thought they were different kinds of animals and gave them many different names. A fly larva is called a maggot. A beetle larva is called a grub. A butterfly larva is called a caterpillar. A butterfly pupa is called a chrysalis. A moth pupa is called a cocoon. 1. A mother ladybug lays her eggs on the bottom side of a leaf, as shown in the illustration. 2. A baby ladybug or larva hatches. It looks nothing like an adult ladybug. 3. The larva eats and grows, but its exoskeleton does not grow, so the larva molts and crawls out of its old, tight exoskeleton. Its new one is much looser. 4. The larva molts many times. When it's big enough, it attaches itself to a leaf and molts again. Its new exoskeleton hardens into a protective case. Now the ladybug is a pupa. 5. The pupa doesn't eat or move, but inside its case, its body is busy changing. 6. The pupa's case splits open and a soft, pale, adult ladybug pushes out. 7. As the ladybug's wings harden, they turn bright red and spots appear. Now the ladybug can fly. Page 18. Yo Wants to Know by Leah and Alan Daniel. A falling star, exclaims Dad. Did you see it, Yo? It landed over there, says Yo, in those tree branches. That's a firefly, says Dad. There are lots of them out tonight. I'm getting my bug catcher, says Yo. Caught one, says Yo. There's no fire on it, Dad. It's not even hot, as she touches it. Hey, it turned off. Now it's on again. It's sending signals to its friends, says Dad. If the firefly and I both signal, says Yo, maybe the other fireflies will come close to us. They'll make so much light we can stay up all night, says Yo. I need some sleep, says Dad, and so do you. Shall we let this guy go? Okay, says Yo, but I'm sending one more signal. It's saying, good night, fireflies. Please come back tomorrow. Page 24. Insect senses. Insects learn about the world the same way you do, through touch, smell, sight, hearing, and taste. But the way they sense is much different. Tasting. Cabbage white caterpillars eat mustard plants. So a mother cabbage white butterfly lands on leaf after leaf, tasting each with the taste sensors in her feet. She won't lay her eggs until she finds a mustard leaf. Click says, I'm glad I don't taste with my feet. Smelling. Smell organs on an ant's antennae help these busy insects sniff out food, intruders, and lots of other things. Ants need to be smell experts because they mostly live close to the ground. They can't fly up to get a dragonfly eye view of the world below. Seeing. A dragonfly can see in every direction at once. It has two giant eyes that cover most of its head like a helmet. Each is made up of thousands of tiny lenses that work together like pieces in a puzzle to form one big picture. Touching. Why is it so hard to swat a fly? Tiny hairs on a fly's body feel the whoosh of air that a fly swatter makes as it comes near, warning the fly to get away. Hearing. A cricket has an ear on the inside of each front leg. These ears can hear almost as well as yours, but are 60 times smaller. Keen hearing allows a cricket to tell the difference between the friendly buzz of fellow insects and the clicks of hunting bats. Meet the beetles. Ladybugs, beetles. Fireflies, beetles. June bugs, beetles. Nearly half of all insects are beetles. You can tell a beetle from other kinds of insects by its two hard front wings. When closed, these wings meet in a straight line down the middle of the beetle's back. They act as a cover or shield for the beetle's body and the thin, transparent rear wings it uses for flying. One of these beetles is not a beetle. Can you find it? See page 35 for the answer. Page 28. Abby's Mantises by Buffy Silverman, art by Paige Billen Fry. One autumn day, Abby and her dad walked through a field near their house. As she ran through tall grass, Abby spotted something that looked like a roasted marshmallow stuck on a stem. She showed it to Dad. "That's an insect case," said Dad. "A praying mantis laid her eggs here. Little mantises will hatch from the eggs in the spring." Abby searched through the grass and found three more egg cases. "Can we take one home and watch the babies hatch?" asked Abby. Dad thought for a moment, then nodded yes. "We'll put the eggs in Mom's garden next spring. Mantises eat lots of insects that eat Mom's plants." Abby touched the hard shell covering the mantis eggs. It felt like styrofoam. Carefully, she broke off the stem below the egg mass. At home, Abby found a jar and put the egg case inside. She set the jar on a shelf in the garage so the eggs would stay cool all winter. When the weather turned warm, the eggs would hatch. There's a photograph, and the caption reads, "A praying mantis egg case holds hundreds of eggs." One day in April, Dad reminded Abby about Mom's birthday. "What do you want to get Mom for a present?" Dad asked. "I already have a present," said Abby, "but it's a surprise. I just need to make a card." After Dad left, Abby studied the photographs of praying mantises in her insect book. Then she drew a picture of a praying mantis eating a grasshopper. She found a ribbon to tie around her jar. Abby took her card and ribbon to the garage and got her present ready. In the photograph, praying mantises can be different colors, but are usually green or brown. The morning of Mom's birthday, Abby ran out to the garage for her jar. She set it next to Mom's place at the table. "What's this?" asked Mom when she sat down. "Did you make it, Abby?" "I didn't make it," said Abby. "A praying mantis did. It's an egg case. I'm going to put it in your vegetable garden." Abby ran and got her insect book. She showed Mom a picture of a praying mantis catching a beetle. When the eggs hatch, the baby mantises will eat anything that crawls near them. They'll eat the bugs that eat your plants, and that will help your plants grow big and tall. Every day after school, Abby checked the egg case, hoping to see praying mantises. On a warm day in May, the eggs finally hatched. A swarm of little mantises covered the egg mass, crawling over one another. A few dropped to the ground. "Mom, come quick," yelled Abby. She pointed at the swarm of mantises. "Look, one baby mantis caught another and is eating it." "That's just what your book showed," said Mom. "We'd better separate them before they gobble each other up." Abby and her mom moved the little mantises all over the garden. When they were done, Abby wandered around the garden, checking on them. "I couldn't find them all," she told Mom. "They're hard to see because they stand as still as statues and blend in with your plants." In the photograph, baby mantises looked like little versions of their parents. Every day, Abby went to the garden to search for mantises. She crouched low next to the marigolds and stood as still as a mantis. Then she spied one on a tomato plant. It had its front legs folded, holding them together like a person praying. A long green caterpillar crawled on a leaf, chewing the leaf's edge. All of a sudden, the mantis snatched the caterpillar, gripping it in its front legs. Abby could see the sharp spines on the mantis's legs snap shut around the caterpillar. She watched the mantis devour the caterpillar. Then it cleaned its front legs and waited for its next meal. By the end of the summer, Abby found only 2 mantises in the garden, but they were no longer tiny. They were as long as lollipop sticks. In the photograph, the spines on a mantis's front legs help it catch and hold prey. One autumn day, Abby saw a praying mantis on a tall stem. A foamy mess came out its back end. Abby stood still, closely watching the mantis. At first, she thought the insect was sick. Then she realized that the praying mantis was making an egg case. On the other side of the garden, Mom was digging potatoes. Abby called to her, "Come quick, Mom. Someone is making you a birthday present." "Isn't it a little soon for that?" asked Mom. "I won't have another birthday for many months." "It's not too early for this praying mantis. She's laying eggs that will hatch in the spring. Happy birthday, Mom." In the photograph, the white foam the mantis lays her eggs in will darken and harden into a protective case. The next page has an exercise you can do with your parent, teacher, or guardian. This completes the September edition of CLIC, Science and Exploration for Young Kids. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer, Ron Pariser.